Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast, your number one Orlando City podcast for the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Welcome to another edition of the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. We are podcasting after a huge win at home. Big night for Orlando soccer overall. We got the Pride with 3 points. We got OCB with 3 points. Orlando City with 3 points and a clean sheet. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got the boys ready to go. But before we get started, let's knock out those sponsors. We got AMG Lending. A lot of people still buying houses. Make sure you get some expert advice for one of the biggest purchases you'll ever make, which is a home purchase. You need help with the insurance aspect. It's complicated in Florida. I'm here to help. And then FieldTurf USA. I was watching today Arsenal versus Chelsea. The Arsenal calls their pitch the carpet. That pitch is called the carpet because it's mixed in with grass and FieldTurf product there. So it's really nice to see some of the best pitches in the world using FieldTurf products, just like Orlando City does. So thank you for sponsoring us. And let's get into the show. We have from Fort Myers, Alex Ryder. What's up, Papa?
How we doing? I like a win. I like talking about wins. I like positivity. And I love beating LA. There's just something about beating an original MLS team and making them look even worse than they already have been looking. And it's just something nice. And it was right. Nice. It's good to see a lot of people out. It was our biggest attendance since the home opener, and the boys felt that. They also destroyed LA. So
we've had some good wins against LA, right? Our first year, man, we smacked them around.
Was it 4-0 or 4-1?
4-1, I think it was.
And when we beat them, they actually referenced that match with the patch for this match. It was the same, the very famous Cleon poster that he so graciously gifted me. They put a patch of that poster as the patch of the match. So
Oh, nice.
Anybody wants to send me one, that'd be great. But
okay, keep an eye out. You know where to find us if you're able to get one. And we had that Will Johnson crazy volley. Remember, that was the greatest goal he ever scored.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I remember stepping out of my – I was working. You know, I had to work on a Saturday, getting out and getting in trouble because my break went too long and celebrating with that Will Johnson goal. And then And then Cleon, what's up? Cleon's heading over. He actually got some work to do. So we got Cleon, you know, before, you know, last day off. What's up,
Cleon? Last day off.
All right.
Yeah, man.
He's traveling to go do some work real quick. He's traveling to paradise over there to go work. Yeah.
You going to bring us some chocolate cake, Cleon?
Bro, absolutely not. Too expensive, bro.
Yeah, hey, it was expensive. Man, Cleon comped that meal. That was no joke.
I didn't comp that cake, Eddie. I already told you that. I ain't comp that cake.
Yeah. Man, let me tell you guys real quick. I don't know if I said this here, but when they brought me, I wanted that fish sandwich because Cleon, I had it at his house. It's delicious. I had it there. They came out with, my wife ordered like a thing of wings, my kids. I'm like, guys, slow down. And then manager comes out with 6 pieces of chicken. And everybody had their meals, man. I ate like 4 pieces of chicken, a fish sandwich, coleslaw, mac and cheese.
Living a tough life there.
Yeah, then the manager showed up with chocolate cake, and all I did was just run up my taxi cab because she was like, I'll wait for you. I was like, how nice. And I come out, she's been running the whole – what an idiot, man.
Soccer.
Yeah, soccer, bro. Yeah, they're like, why do you know Mr. Chicken? I'm like, I got a friend. I know a guy. And they're like, Mr. Chicken. And where was the town again? What was the one I went
that
to?
That one's Somerset.
Somerset, yeah, Mr. Chicken in Somerset. I know where that's at, and that was it. But yeah, then man comes out with the chocolate cake, and he goes, "You guys want milkshakes too?" And I said, like, "That's enough. Don't mind." It was delicious. It was great. Thank you, Cleon. I still haven't worked off those calories from that meal. So, all right, folks, let's get into it. It was a rainy night in Orlando. Weather reports about tornadoes and all kinds of stuff, and 22,000 fans showed up. That place was popping. The wall was popping. I was in the wall in this match. The wall was lit. It was a great crowd, 22,000 plus. So shout out to the fans for showing up because, man, Floridians, for being in the partly cloudy state of Florida, they can be scared of rain sometimes. And this was not the case.
I think part of it was because the Galaxy are a big name and popular, and we have a good Mexican community. People probably want to see Chicharrón and Chicharito out there flopping and pulling his pants up like he's trying to, you know, wrap a burrito or something. Because, you know, but you know, before the match, Jansen emptied his pockets out, and out came out little Chicharito. Because Jansen had that boy in his pocket, but we'll talk about that some too. And so Orlando City, 2-0, clean sheet at home against the Los Angeles Galaxy. We got goals from Urchin. God, what? Duncan McGuire was out due to a knock he sustained in the last match. You know, Mr. Goal differential, right, Cleon?
Oh, yeah.
Last match, he came out. We got scored on. It was 1-1, 3-1 in a matter of a short time afterwards. So Duncan McGuire was out this week, period, as was Mauricio Pereira. So Urchin Cara comes in, and he starts, and he came in spry, man. I always said he ran like he was running on with glass on his shoes or concrete, or he was playing that game, the floor is lava, and didn't really want to touch it and push off. But he was scooting this day. Whatever they gave Jansen to get him to scoot, boy, Urchin Cara had that going this week. And he was lively. Actually, he got on to a nice cross from Mikey Halliday, who was a threat on the right from especially the first half. He picked up his head and put in a great cross into Urchin Cara, and he just toe shot, just right in, you know, nutmegged the keeper, and that was that. That was the first goal, and then in the second half, Facundo Torres, who was the number 10 in this match for Mauricio Pereira, on a transition between the three DPs, man. I mean, the front office, losing folks must have been pumped because. I think Carlos wins the ball, hits it over to Angulo to Cara. Cara, a little back heel to Ojeda. Ojeda threw ball to Facu. Facu sneaks it through the keeper, Jurgen Klinsmann's son, Jonathan Klinsmann. And 2-0 at that point. The boys hang on. Pedro makes a big save at the end of the day. The goals were at the 38 mark. Urchin Cara from Mikey Halliday assist. And then Facundo Torres, Ojeda with the assist, and Urchin Cara, right, Cleon? He got an assist on that too.
Don't start with me.
Yeah, and then you know, Poppy made some changes, made some subs. I was happy with what it is. It now, granted, Galaxy aren't great, but we need to win these games. It was a win at home. So, Alex, what was your takeaway, man, for the match?
Overall, felt a lot better, looked a lot better. The absence of a back three definitely benefited everybody involved. Even Kyle Smith at least managed to not make a mistake. And it was good. Looking offensive, having Urchin Cara look better, look like he wanted to actually get out there and make some plays, it's good. He looked good, and he looked like he wanted to prove himself. And that's what we need right now from our DP that's been in a slump, and a lot of people have been saying has benched. And Facundo, same thing. A lot of people have been saying, where's Facundo so far this season? And he's looked great too. So match. Great fans, because I was tweeting before the match, tornado warnings. I don't know if this one's going to kick off. And I was wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not a meteorologist. I'm not.
No. Hey, it was lit, man. I'm telling you, I was there. And, you know, good point too. Facundo, this is his first goal from run of play this season. His other goal was a penalty. It was, you know, that penalty in the first match at home. So, you know, Cara's getting stick, but you know, Facundo was starting too as well. Ojeda quietly has been been the most productive of the three. He's got two goals.
He came very close in this one too.
Two goals, three assists, and if you look at his shot rate, he really should have a few goals. Klinsmann made a crazy save on one of them. He almost chipped the keeper, and he's had a bit of bad luck. I think we might see a goal stretch from him coming soon once he gets that. You know, once he returns to the average, to the mean. I think you can see some goals from Ojeda because I think he's been finding his form too. But yeah, Cleon, what was your thoughts, man? It was a different day. We looked different in a lot of different. We looked different in some positive ways. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would say this match. I saw everything that I have to start it with.
that the Galaxy is trash.
True.
So we have to get that out the way. They are trash. But from situations like this, you have to look for the positive, positive or the steps forward that we made. And you can do that from this match. With the attack, now mind you, with the attack, it's a little hard to say because we did have Mauricio out. So that kind of forced a hand as far as the lineup and the shift in the tactic going to like the double pivot and stuff like that, you know, entering Wilder into the mix, who I literally said on the last pod, like, bro, are we going to get this kid some minutes or what? Cause he had been playing well and then he just disappeared.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, we've been clamoring for him to get some minutes anyway, because he had been playing lights out. You know, so that was kind of forced. So I guess we kind of have to wait and see the tactic part of it. We have to kind of wait and see till Mauricio is back and then see what happens. You know what I mean? Was this out of necessity, or is this something that is, or even if it was out of necessity, is this something that he will stick with even if Mauricio was healthy? You know what I mean? My other thing that I've really been wanted to see was you know, Urgent Carr. He everything I complain about him doing, or not, I'm sorry, everything I complain about him not doing, I finally saw him do this match, which was, you know, all the things that I say that Duncan does and that Urgent was not. This match, Urgent did, so he did those things. You know, he was fighting to get the balls. He was things like a lot of people, they only focus on the goals, man. Like, did a guy score? Did he not score? You know what I mean? And I was the same thing I was saying even with Duncan. It's not about that he scored. You know what I mean? It's not that he scored a goal. It's all the other little things he was doing. You know what I mean? To help with the buildup and to help, you know, just constantly chasing down balls, fighting for balls, getting to balls that he shouldn't, helping in the hold up play, helping in the build up. These are all things that Carr this match did that he absolutely had not been doing.
Yeah, he was dropping deep still. Yeah.
Yes. Like, he absolutely had not been doing a single lick of that. And that's what the issue was with him. It's not about if he scored a goal or not. You know what I mean? We've talked about it many times. Poppy strikers are never going to score. I shouldn't say never. It could happen, but it hasn't happened yet. But they're never going to just be dropping, you know, tons of goals from the striker position for whatever reason. People just focus too much on that part of it. You know what I mean? Like, Urca, he could have scored a goal this game and still look trash.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the part where he made steps forward was not that he scored. It was, I mean, he scored during the Champions
League. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not whether you think he got injured or he was benched or both.
Which is what I think.
The problem, I think so too, but his, you know, the problem was not that, oh, he hasn't scored a goal yet. I mean, Enrique, he hasn't scored all season and he was still getting play. You know what I mean? It's not, that was not the problem. The problem was Carr was not doing anything else. He was doing nothing else except for waiting for a perfect service to come to him so he could score.
Right.
This match, he did not do that. He did not wait. He, you know, he went to try to make things happen. And that's where the progression came from him this week. And those are the things he's going to need to do to keep that job, keep hold of that job if he's got it back. These are the things he needs to continue to do. This can't be a, you know, I had to sit on the bench for 6 weeks or however long it's been watching rookies and all these new guys take my spot.
And reading tweets, apparently.
Mm-hmm. But... this can't be I have a chip on my shoulder for this week. He's finally putting me in, so I'm going to play hard and then go back to what you were doing before next game.
he has to continue that each and yes, every time.
He has to Absolutely. He has to do all these things. It's not about that, it's not about him getting that goal. Like a striker's gonna score goals by yeah. nature, by position where they are.
And finishing wasn't his problem, which we
no,
we
talked that's, about. That's plenty. Not why that's not what his problem was. His problem was he was doing nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like if you talked about with Poppy's system, I brought this up last year and it got some traction, got spread around about how the highest goal scored ever by a Poppy striker was 12, was Max Urruti. And yes, DK would have blown that out, but DK was scoring goals that were not necessarily part of the system. You know, his if you look at DK's expected goals and his goal output, he exceeded by a lot in a way that was an outlier because of how strong he shoots, how physical he is, et cetera. You know, and he hits hard with both feet. So when I'm talking about not in the system, it's not that. It's not a diss to the coach that he got goals that way. But it's not a credit to the coach's system that he got goals that way too. And if you can't differentiate between the two, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But what Urchangada's issue was, you even saw that in one of them where Pedro kicked it to him and it was a little high and he just let it go. I saw a fan yell at me, "Go for that!" But that was the only time he did that. But he was doing that all last year. And guys, don't forget that Open Cup run. There was a stretch there where he wasn't starting. They start Pato, they play Tesho, you know. And then the Open Cup, and Benji was striker, right? And in the Open Cup run, even the final, that game didn't turn until he came out. The neutral announcers were saying, Urchangada does not seem up for it. What's going on? It wasn't Orlando City fans kind of hating. It just didn't look like he just didn't fit also, but he required a lot to go right. And what part of being Cleon's penchant for pushing for Duncan was that, okay, the system isn't going to create goals, but Duncan seems to find them, you know, mm-hmm. little Wondolowski. So we were saying, okay, we need to get goals somehow. The system ain't creating them. He's doing the extra stuff. He's pressing. He's winning balls. He's hold up play. He's you know, working hard, hustling, all the stuff where fans normally like a lot and rate very highly. And so let's build off of that, right? You know how many times we got the ball and turn and played Mikey into space, for example, right? He did that numerous times. Wakata was doing that this match. To quote Jamie Tart, it wasn't going to him, it was going through him this time. He was dropping deep.
Nice.
And he was dropping deep and, sorry, he was winning balls. It was chest. He was bringing them down. He was heading balls. He was aggressive. He pressed them into some turnovers and everything. This Urchangada, the team doesn't want the DP not to succeed. No team wants to go in a playoff run relying on a rookie most of the time. That's not what you get a rookie for usually, right? This isn't like, you know, even like no franchise, especially in soccer, even if you draft a quarterback first overall, you don't expect a deep playoff run per se, right? So if you have Urchangada, you know, you have Duncan. Duncan's done well and either won the job through injury or won the job or whatever. I think that obviously you need more than one striker. Ramiro hasn't scored. And with Urchangada, Urchangada is useful as well. So ultimately, the club wants him to be the starting striker, in my opinion. And if he plays like this, then he should be because he did all the extra stuff. So the Dominic Urchangada stuff is a result of the function of how Poppy was using them, but also because of the what was happening. So looks like we lost Cleon here.
But while we wait for Cleon to rejoin us, and I'm a little sad he's not going to get to hear this joke, but aren't you a San Francisco 49ers fan? What about Brock Purdy?
Yeah, it's true. You don't expect that. But at the same time, I'm a 49ers fan, and look at Trey Lance. You know, they drafted him in the first round.
That's what happens when you're the coach's daughter is dating him and yada, yada, yada. But
Exactly.
The other thing is, to build on that point as far as looking for it, you have to fit into the system that the coach wants to get playing time. But
it's got to be a balance, right? He's got to put to your strengths, but you got to do the extra stuff too. Because they're like,
he doesn't get service.
Yes, you need to feed your striker, but it's just not what's not what he's done. It's not who Poppy is.
Not where all the food should go.
Yeah, and then at the same time, if your striker isn't doing the other stuff, right, the dirty work, you're like, what do I need to feed this guy, right? But that's what was happening. And people were like, oh, you mentioned, you know, we should move on from Mercancada, et cetera. No. We're saying that it doesn't look like it's a fit because they're not using them. Even last year, this isn't a this year thing. Just like the Papi's record, everyone makes it a this year thing. This is not a this year thing. This is a the whole time he's been here thing. And if you're not going to use a DP, then it's a waste of a roster spot. You move on from them. But ultimately, you want the DPs to work out. So I'm glad he had this game. Fantastic. So
maybe, just maybe, it can be one of those building points where it's like, okay, he had to come in. He practiced, trained enough to get that spot where Enrique didn't start. And he goes and he performs, he can build on that. And in a couple of weeks, we might be sitting here saying, oh, look, we got two aces. Aces?
Right. Aces? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, got two aces. Exactly. Gil, Jamie Tard, Danny Rojas going on. And look, and look, sometimes they talk about the fans and how you – there's been a lot of debate about how do you back a team, all of this stuff. But the fact is, if he saw stuff and was – being viewed as negative,
he saw stuff.
Yeah, which is fine. That's part of the modern athlete. But if there was something there and it motivated him, then you're welcome, bro. Like, you know, maybe he's a guy who needs that. And he's been doing that shush celebration. He did it last year when he got benched and was on a slump too. And he done it in Austria. You just search his name in GIFs, it comes up him doing that. So maybe it's just his thing. So I don't know.
Maybe the fans need to keep giving him neutral encouragement. I don't know. It's hard because you don't want to trash a player that just did something good for you. But no, at the same time, if it's going to help him keep doing it, I don't care. Keep doing it.
Yeah. If he needs to, like, I don't think one goal shuts up the haters. I mean, what a cheap date we are, right? just like I don't think one win proves that we're good yet. You know, especially against the Galaxy. But if he needs this to keep getting motivated to scoring, then great. And if we're going to set up in a way where we're going to ask him to do different things, not run off of people, or, you know, last year he kind of had to try to turn and he turned so slow and all that. It's not what he's good at. I've always said the three guy DPs we have are good combining. And then you look at Ojeda, he's good at running at somebody, which is what he did on the assist, right? He was running at somebody. Facu did a great job of getting space. And then Cara's good in combination play. He's not going to run past anybody. He really doesn't get on headers and stuff like that. He's not the physical big guy per se. So he needs to be part combination. Those three need to be fluid and sometimes close to each other. So and that's what he did. And last week I talked about it. So Papi's always done a 4-2-3-1. That's what he does. That's what he's known for. That's what he did in Dallas. Our average goals this year is down 1.1, and so is our goals allowed 1.1. But after his clean sheet, that really helped. But historically, his goals for is like 1.6 or something like that. His goals his goals allowed is like 1.3 in Dallas. In Orlando, it's almost even. Right. And then this year, recently, it's been almost even where like we're underwater. So I was like, okay, the gap between goals scored isn't as big historically, meaning that's just kind of his average, who he is. But the goals allowed was a big disparity. So let's work on bringing the goals allowed down, and let's just win our 2-0, 2-1, 1-0 games, because that's just what we're going to do under Oscar Pareja. And that's why I said, let's play the double pivot. Let's put in Wilder in there. I said to put Mauricio at the 10 and sit somebody down, but Mauricio, I didn't know Mauricio was hurt at the time. But man, that worked. Alex, what did you think of the shape? The double pivot. I thought we looked solid. And on defense, Kyle Smith it's always like, what do you get from him, right? You get good work rate and all that stuff.
For the money you're paying.
Yeah. He's a unique guys like that on your team. But playing him at left back means, you know, attack wise, he's pretty useless going up the left. He cuts inside a lot. But what I liked that was clever is that they use him to switch to play wide, cutting in his right foot. he can switch to play. He's pretty good at that. He didn't do it all the time. He missed up a couple times. But a couple times he got some quick switches out to Mikey Holiday. So we were overloading the left side. And then another thing I had recommended is to use one of the fullbacks, like you see Man City do or Arsenal with Ben White, other people. You use one of them to become the third center back. Let one of your fullbacks go up, which is what Oscar normally did in Dallas anyways. One fullback go up, not both. Let Mike, and Mikey was the one that had all the space, and they were just letting him have space.
They they gave him way too much space and didn't think enough of him in this match. And
he made him pay, thankfully.
Oh, absolutely.
He finally made him pay, and that's going to keep happening until he makes him pay more. Because he a couple of those crosses, people mistake you being left wide open with skill. He timed his runs well, but him being wide open is because he juked someone. It's not football. He didn't juke anyone to get open. He was left open for the most part, and he timed his runs well. But a couple, I mean, there was one where a guy was wide open. He was just late. And I said it. I said, if he could just pick up his head, if he could just, you know, he's either too late or too early. If he could just maybe one extra touch, pick up his head, and he finally did it. And that was a great pass to Kata. The right weight, the right spin, you know, great finish. That was fantastic by Mikey and Kata.
So credit. Right time.
Yeah, that was Mikey. That was fantastic what he did there. But what they did is they said let Kyle sit back a lot. And then I saw, too, there was a point where Felipe, when he came in, too, and they told Mikey, like, sit back a little bit, et cetera, because, you know, and Mikey has the awareness where when Kyle went up, he sat back. And you could Wilder can be a little more box-to-box than Cesar is. And Cesar sat in front of the back. And I thought we looked a lot more solid defensively. Their XG was over one, but it was mostly in the 82nd minute on. Chicharito had the header. That's probably a goal, but Pedro saves it. And then he was on it. Chicharito was giving us trouble the last 10 minutes, but other than that, they were pretty quiet for most of the match, you know. So,
and it's funny because like you're talking about that big Pedro save, but he's like the fourth or fifth hero on this particular match because so many players did contribute. Like
absolutely,
Ojeda had a good match, Cara had a good match, Torres had a good match, even. In the later steps, it was just nice to see too that a lot of people have been critical in the past that when we get one goal, we immediately bunker. But it was Cara scores, we continue to attack, we continue to press. Sure.
Good point.
And we come into the second half doing the exact same thing, no changes. Yeah. And then we score the second one, keep playing like that. Right. And then we don't make our first substitution until the 78th minute, and it's Ojeda for Gonzalez. And Ojeda's had a lot of minutes. It's good to give him some rest. And it just keeps going. And Gulo for Dagger Dan, Felipe for Cartagena. I just butchered that, sorry.
Yeah,
Cartagena. To everybody. Enrique for Cara, and Mikey Halliday for congratulations to Alex Freeman
on first MLS minutes.
First MLS minutes. Congratulations. And they were in stop. They were in.
But that's what you do when you have leads. Yeah.
That was great. It was so much fun.
When you have leads, you go and you throw in the kids. That's great. And then we haven't had a lot of leads, and we had to hold on, and it's been holding back some of the kids. So I thought that was a perfect time to play Freeman in there. And Freeman scored, you know, OCB scored in the weekend, and they had a 4-3 barn burner against Toronto 2 or something. And they're top of the East now. OCB is out there firing, boy. You know, and watch out there. They have several kids. They got about a handful of kids training with the first team. Freeman is one of them. Loyola's one of them. Granados is another, and Juninho is another. When I understand, so that's you see that pathway. That's positive. You know. So I think formation wise, I want to get clear on this here in a second too. I'm glad we made the change. Do you think? It was like we have been seeing the back three because Mikey Holiday has been out. Do you think when he's in, we're going to stick with the back four, Alex? Because Jansen, boy, what a night he had. I mean, he stopped Chicharito in the box. Even Chicharito was like, I didn't think he was going to do that. I thought Jansen had a really good match. Carlos, and you know, Carlos is to me what makes Carlos special is on ball ability, his aerial battles. but also his game, his anticipation and reading of the match. Both goals involved him making a good read and stopping an entry, from what I'm pretty sure certain of. Both of them involved the Halliday one, the one who sprang Halliday for the cross was Carlos. He used to do that with Juan. He just hit a nice little dink over the top and perfectly waited for Halliday to run on it and get a good cross in to Cara. And then the second one, he anticipated the ball, got it to Angulo, who got it to Ojeda, who got it to Facu, or to Cara, to Ojeda, to Facu. So, you know, that it allowed Carlos, I think, a little more freedom with having Cesar back there and Wilder to anticipate the match. And Jansen was able to keep within his space. Jansen has trouble in the back three when he has to cover for fullbacks and be spread out. When he gets spread out like that, he doesn't have the pace and, you know, quickness to do as well as he does in a back four. So do you think it's going to be the back four going forward like this, Alex?
I do. I really do. I do think that Halliday being out was part of it. It was definitely something that contributed to, are we going to really be able to function without a primary player in this position? And it paid off this week. Ask me again in a week and we'll see, but that's my approach to most things Orlando City right now, because we're week to week. And yeah, we're clicking on all cylinders club. So you got to see how we handle the adversities that come to us this week. Yeah. It was nice to we handled the Duncan is out, our supposed rookie playmaker is out, and Cara comes in off of multiple matches of being benched and he scores. Mm-hmm. But Halliday comes back in off of, I think he was injured, and yeah, he got injured on international duty, right?
I think so. Yeah, he had a thigh thing. But
between being off on international duty and being injured after and recovering, he comes back in and he immediately contributes, mm-hmm, not only with the shake, but with an assist and with the tactics of even making Kyle Smith have a good match and looking good in the strategic point of view. So I think the shape is here to stay for the time being. I do wonder how the age of a couple of these players is going to impact us long-term. We're talking Antonio Carlos and Robin Jansen had great matches, and that was partially due to the shape. They're not having to do quite as much covering because you've got slightly faster, younger players on each side. Even mm-hmm. Kyle Smith's younger, even though it's Kyle Smith. But is that going to be good long-term for us, or are we going to need Rodrigo to sometimes slot in there and hope that the chemistry keeps working out? And in the same way, is Mauricio going to be able to stay healthy? That's the other thing. He's getting up there in age, and he comes off earlier than most players because he's not a young buck anymore, and he's always cramping up.
Yeah, no, this is true. One second here with Yeti. Sorry, let me get Cleon in here.
The joys of live podcasting.
All right, yeah, Cleon's back in here. Okay, Cleon, let me know when you're ready. And Cleon, where we're talking here about the formation and everything like that, right? About it, the back four looking better with Jansen and much better. Jansen, look, I think it allows Carlos to be anticipatory. I think he reads the game well. And I think Halliday brought in more balance, you know? So is Halliday the key to playing the back four? Or do you see us continually doing that? And then secondly, Alex talked about this regarding age and Mauricio's stamina and whatnot and injuries. What do we do when Mauricio comes back?
I mean, if it's me, I mean, I think we're more, I'll start with this.
Real quick. Yeah. Mauricio's got left the last game. They said today, this 3-game stretch, we got Saturday, Montreal, Charlotte. And then the following week, I forgot who we play. They expect him to be in back part of the road trip, but he's not practicing. Duncan is back, but Mauricio's not. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I'll start with the center backs.
Columbus in Columbus, just so we're clear.
All right, I'll start with the center backs. For me, I've always said, I love Rodrigo, but he's when it comes to stability, defensive stability back there, yeah, that's not the guy. You know, he's just kind of wild. You know what I mean? He just does what he wants to do. He goes where he wants to go. And people constantly have to react to whatever sudden thing he does. You know what I mean? Or, you know, he'll jump out of position and go chase someone down somewhere at a quarter of the way down the field. And they're like, what the hell what's he doing? I mean, when you leave it down to it's just Carlos and Janssen, they're both more stable, defensively stable. So it's you're not going to have that much of that. You know what I mean? And sure, there'll be times where Janssen will go wander out a little bit, or Carlos might, but it's not like recklessly wandering out or just like out of nowhere. You know what I mean? So it's more they know it's coming and they're prepared, and it's in a more timely spot. So by nature, Rodrigo coming out of there, it's going to be more stable. As far as Mikey being the key to them playing the back four.
Well, meaning that it doesn't look like Oscar wants to when he's not there. Or it could have been just opposition, but, you know, he didn't. And then Mikey comes back. I mean, he was when Mikey was there, and then he did it when Mikey was gone, then he did when Mikey came back. So
yeah, I see what you're saying.
It might not be connected.
For now, I'm not sure if that's Mikey related or if that was Schlegel was starting. And because remember, we didn't give up a bunch of goals, but I don't understand how people credit like the center backs and like, because we were playing like crap, like even when we weren't not giving up goals in the beginning of the season.
And Pedro remember? Was Pedro exactly. Was exactly. Nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. He made one Pedro save, but he only had to make one, like that one, that header from Chicharito. That was Pedro being Pedro. That should have gone in, probably a normal person. But that was just one. He was doing that like four or five times.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think it's like eight times.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's tied to Mikey, Mikey slash Kyle. Like if it's okay, I trust Mikey to do this, but I don't trust Kyle. Or if it's something like, he just wasn't ready to pull Rodrigo out of the lineup yet. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure which one of those two things it is yet. I would say moving forward, if Mikey's out again and, you know, we see a back three instead of seeing Janssen, Schlegel, I mean, Janssen, Carlos, and let's say Kyle or somebody, then I'll be like, I guess it was Mikey. You know what I mean? Or not even necessarily Mikey, but I just maybe just feels Kyle's fell off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
true. And the reason I think it's also because of, yeah, he felt like Kyle fell off as a right back. You know, I think he's better suited as a, you know, center back or this inverted left back kind of thing, which he did. I think too, the reason I think it was partially Mikey is because everybody knows that he actually plays a 4-4-2 a lot. I thought they were coming into it. They must have not thought the same thing, you know. And you normally you know that's a time where people go to three center backs a lot to give them a numbers advantage against the two center backs, you know. So the fact that they were like, even though they've been playing a 3-4-3 for the most part, they're saying we're going to face two strikers and we're still going to do a back four. You know, but if you look at it, this stuff is fluid. The way to look at it, if you look at Kyle Smith's heat map, he really pinched in and was like a third center back a lot of the times with Caesar and Wilder in front, you know, one or the other. So they had a lot more protection. That now when Mauricio comes back, Cleon, do you think we go back to the wing backs, or do we go back to Mauricio as a second midfielder and then do that? Because Oscar Pareja said he should have been listening to more people, whoever that was. Maybe he's on Twitter too. I know we know, you know, maybe he's on Twitter or listening to family members who are. And then he played Facu at the 10. He said, yeah, he could do that. He likes it. He played Facu at the 10.
I don't know why that took so long. The Facu, right. Like to me, and I wouldn't even say to me, I would say to the majority of people who at least have, you know, this type of platform, whether it's a podcast or whatever, or you just speak a lot on Twitter.
Yeah.
I feel like almost everyone to the man assumed Even when everyone was on the same page, just assuming Mauricio was going to be tried at the eight, right? Okay.
Right.
But so then it was like, okay, someone's going to have to play the 10. And everyone always assumed it was going to be Faku because
– especially when we bought Ojeda.
To me, it made the most – exactly. That's what I'm saying. Out of those two, everyone was like, okay, Faku's going to be at the 10.
Yeah. And you know what I mean? And Sean Wilson has been here.
It was, then it was Ojeda, and everyone's like, okay. I would have – because Faku, he, that's what he plays like.
Yeah, yeah. And Ojeda, I think Gavin said it on the Dad podcast. Ojeda is a guy who they're giving him they're giving him like the ball was back to goal. Like he's a guy who like runs at people, makes you come out. And that's how the second goal happened. Mm-hmm. You know, he's close to someone else. I've said it before. I don't know if those three work better combining, right? Got out to Ojeda, then boom, Faku did that. And credit to Oscar for the wrinkle. I did credit for two things. Kyle on left back helped with the switches. He didn't pull it off every time. A couple times he didn't, but it helped switch the play to the right, overloading it to give Mikey free. Credit to him there. Credit to putting Wilder in, because I'm telling you, I've been telling you guys for a year, Wildebeest, man, that's where it's at. You know, if you like, what Peruvian player do we have that don't work out, man? You know what's better than one Peruvian? Two Peruvians, you know? So, and but Wilder is obviously a quality player. I thought he was really good in the Open Cup. And if you look at his performances, I think he's just a solid, lot of, not a high ceiling, but a high floor. Like he's just not, he's not really, he doesn't do anything really wrong. You know, he's just pretty steady. And credit to putting Faku on the right wing in the second half. Faku had more freedom, was fading right. Ojeda was coming inside. And that goal, Faku was on the right. Ojeda was underneath Cara. You know, so credit to that little wrinkle. That gave him problems, because there was a little bit where the Galaxy took the game a little bit by the neck. And then we started getting it back and got that second goal, et cetera. So right after halftime, Galaxy came out kind of hot. Then that goal came in 56 minutes, I think. It killed that right quick. So that was good. But you think so? If Mauricio, Cleon, if Mauricio's back, what do you think they do with him? Is Mauricio now a super sub? Because if it was me, I'm asking you guys. For me, I think, you know, we need to have some continuity. I think Cara deserved to keep starting after that performance. I said it before. Last week when I said we should go to a 4-2-3-1 with double pivot. We can't, you know, you'd have to take Angulo out, because I was going to say he's going to put Mauricio at the 10 because Oscar's loyal like that, and that's his captain and all that. So, dude, you got to sit Angulo, because I don't want to sit two out of three DPs. And then, boom, Cara plays. And then, you know, Mauricio and Faku, Ojeda and Faku have a great night. So that was right. So you can't sit Ojeda and Faku, man. And Angulo doesn't deserve to be sat. But, you know, so... So, you know, what do you do with Mauricio? In my opinion, you know, I think he's going to be out for probably a couple of weeks. These games are all away. You don't want someone with a bum wheel to be, you know, be traveling on these planes and stuff like that.
Hello, so and all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's a perfect time to kind of like have that conversation, you know, time to go to Green Acres a little bit and just say, hey, you're our captain, you're our guy, but right now, we want to make sure you're back fit. Use that kind of as an excuse, so to speak, and really develop this 4-2-3-1 with Faku at the 10 and Wilder behind. And then Mauricio, at that point, they're rolling. We're rolling because we should be Montreal. We should be Charlotte in the Open Cup. And if we're rolling at that point, then it's going to be hard to undo that formation just to put Mauricio in, you know?
Right.
So what do you think, Cleon, about that?
Yeah, for me, I'll say two things. One, I think when Mauricio gets back, he starts off on the bench, but then by the next game, maybe the second after that, he's going to put Mauricio back in. I really don't want that to happen, especially if we are rolling, just because he's the captain. If we do that, I think that's a massive mistake, unless this thing goes south and it's just not working out. You know what I mean? Right. What I want them to do is I want to see what I just saw. You know what I mean? I want Wilder in there with Cesar. That was the most solid and balanced we looked all year long.
Right.
That, I mean, and like I said, you have to take it with a grain of salt, because it was LA.
Right.
And they've been trash. Absolutely trash.
But, and they didn't have their best player too, Ricky Pouge.
Yeah, but we played trash teams before, and we still didn't look good. We lost altogether.
How many times have you said we look trash against trash teams and look pretty good against good teams?
Yeah, Yeah, that was the most solid I've seen us look. I'll go a step further with the Cara. I think you have, I would start him the next game. Mind you, he didn't do anything Duncan hasn't been doing this whole time. Since we played Duncan, he did what Duncan was doing, you know? He did all the little things, and he scored a goal, which is normally what Duncan gives us.
I haven't seen Duncan get on a ball in the box like that, though. It doesn't mean – I don't know how many chances he's gotten, but that was a slick finish. I don't know if Duncan does that. I'll say that.
I mean, a goal's a goal.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's skills, bro. But, like, there's Duncan on someone, and then Duncan wide open, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no pun intended with Duncan.
But the thing – my point is Carr, he hasn't been doing that. You know what I mean?
Yes, true.
So what you have to do for me, I think you have to run him back out. Because one thing, Duncan's shown he's going to play the same way, whether it's off the bench or starting.
Right.
I don't think Cara is necessarily a guy who's like, yes, we brought him in for like 15 minutes in the CCL and he scored a goal. But, you know, that was off of Ricochet. That was literally off of Duncan getting on something. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, Duncan does do that. That never even happens in the first place. So Carr is not a guy who I would expect to bring a tempo up or create things like that.
Right.
In short minutes. He seems more of a guy that has to build into the game.
Really? I hear you.
You know what I mean? I would. And like I said, he hasn't been putting in that effort. And I'll say this as well. We talked about it, like we have like group chat and things like that, not just pod, but some other guys as well. And, one of the main points of contention was always, if it's not talking about Poppy, it's talking about Carr. Right. And there was always a debate on whether Carr's lack of pressing and fighting for balls and doing all these types of things, is it that he's just playing lazy or a lack of effort, or if he's just so slow that he can't do it? I will say this, after seeing him do that all game long, it had to be lack of effort. Because when I saw him doing it at the beginning of that match, I was like, okay, he's probably going to wear out. You know what I mean?
He didn't play 86 minutes. Yeah,
exactly. He did that the whole game, and he never really slowed. He slowed down a little bit, but nothing like drastic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, humid Florida day. It's understandable. Yeah,
he did that the whole match, which means he's capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He was fighting for the balls. He was pressing. He was doing everything that we see Duncan, the little things that we saw Duncan doing. Carr did this match. It's not he's too slow to be able to do it. He's able to do it because we just saw him do it. And he did it all match long. So maybe he's learned that lesson. And because of the tag, I think you have to start. If he's going to play at that level, then he's not going to hurt you. You know what I mean? He's not going to hurt you to play him over Duncan. He's not going to hurt you if he's going to play that way, because he's going to bring – basically the same thing Duncan was doing anyway.
I like what you're saying too, because you're saying like Urchin got a playing like that for 60, 70, 80 minutes and Duncan doing what he does for 10, 20, 30.
You'll have it all match
long. That's great. You'll have that all match long. That's better than Duncan for 60, 70 and kind of not bringing in that energy in the last 20.
Exactly. So it's like, I feel like you have to, being that he seemed, mind you, it's only been one match. So, like, all the people that's like, oh, hooray, all is well. I mean, you can't.
Haters.
Hey, don't, you can't do that yet. You know, you got to pump the brake a little bit. But the fact that he did what he was supposed to do after, whether you want to call it injury, benching, whatever.
Benching.
He did what he was supposed to do. So you have to, I feel like you have to reward that effort. You cannot turn around and then bench him.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Can I add to that, Clan?
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
We also have to look at the schedule and add into that. Because guess what? We have 3 away matches in a row in a week. 7-day span. Away to Montreal, away to Charlotte in the Open Cup, away to Columbus. But even on top of that, we have a home match against NYCFC, and then an away match to Miami. That's five matches in a 14-day span. 18-day in the next 18 days, as this pod is recorded, we have five matches. And you do have to encourage that, and you do have to go off of that, and it's going to help, but we need to also evaluate where we are as far as multiple players, because there's no way that Cara is going to play in all three of those. So
yeah, I agree with you. Open Cup.
Cara definitely plays in Montreal, but I think if Duncan gets healthy enough, he's playing probably 90 minutes in Charlotte.
Yeah. I mean, the Open Cup, that's where you're gonna see some rotation for sure. Now, guys, we've seen Oscar bench Pato. We've seen him bench Cara. We've seen him bench some of the big names, expensive players before. So do you think he's got it in him, Alex, to sit down Mauricio? And if he deserves to be, do you think he's got it? I think he sees a little bit of him in him. You know, Oscar, as we call him, Papi, but he had other nicknames. He's called Guapo because he's a handsome dude. And Generalito, hard to say, a little general, because he was a little general in the midfield, you know. And Mauricio's that too, right? It's a little general out there in the midfield. So I think he sees a little bit of himself in him, vital player. We re-signed him for 2 years, you know, now. So do you think he's got it in him to say, you know, Mauricio, right now we're in a good run without these guys? Or maybe there's enough games where he could kind of balance it out, because I really Lee brought this up, having Mauricio come up 65, 70 minute and a guy like Felipe, when they work well together to control the game, right? They work well with possession and they're smart players, and then have some pace, Gaston, Enrique or Duncan, right? And then have Mauricio be able to ping some balls over the top to guys like that in behind. I like having, you know, vertical and pace subs personally, because the people are tired. So I think that would be fantastic. And if you have a good team that's going to compete, you're going to have people who should be starters to be on the bench. And then you could do this. You could bring in Mauricio as a 10. You could bring in Felipe, Wilder, Cartagena as your midfield three. And then you could bring in. Mauricio as your 10 for Facu. Facu goes to the right. We said we get Ojeda. Ojeda doesn't play 90 minutes a lot. It seems like they like to rest him some. So we bring in Gaston, sit down on Gulo, Dagger Dan. You know, there's ways to, you know, put Dagger Dan in the midfield too. There's ways to make that work in a positive way. Do you think Oscar's got the? Do you think Mauricio should be a super sub? And do you think Oscar's going to do that? That's my question to you, Alex.
Okay. For Mauricio, yeah, I think in the long term, I think we would benefit a lot more from a super sub situation where Facundo is assuming the 10 at first and then gets moved as more of a winger position. It also depends on the flow of the game. If it's a game where we've put up two or three goals going into the 70th minute, and you don't want to risk some of your big guys, don't necessarily put Facundo to the wing. You take him off for Mauricio, and then eventually you put Gaston or Dagger Dan and in, or even in Angulo, depending on where the lineup is looking, and you have them play those positions. And Mauricio, I don't think he's a proud guy. I think he can understand when where his role is going in the club, and with this in between for him, with this recovery, I think he can come back. He'll probably start one or two of these matches in this next five and 14 days run, but he's depending on his health, of course, but probably one, to be honest. But he's going to get minutes and he's going to contribute. And if he's got rested legs and it's a close match, he can make magic happen.
Right. And look, and Papi also sat down Nani too, remember in the playoffs. So, I mean, he's not afraid to sit down some names. But exactly. real quick, guys, before we transition stock up, stock down, Cleon, is this the beginning of a winning streak? Or because, you know, like, look, me and Alex, we're a couple Christians here, right? They make fun of Christians for getting married fast. Boy, this fan base, after one date, wants to get married. It's one date, one goal, one date. They're like, we're back. We're good. Put that ring on us. We alternated wins and losses, right? But now we are. Anyone who doubted us, you're idiots, you're wrong. And we are back. Do you think we're back, or was it the galaxy? Or was it, where do you stand on that, Cleon? And it's got a fix, it's got a man now. It's like, what's the takeaway from that?
Oh, wow.
Loaded question.
Yeah, bro. I just that's what I was saying before. It's one game against a trash team. You know what I mean? It's positive. It's definitely looking like it's going into the right direction, because we played trash teams before, and what we usually do is just play down to their trash level. This time we did not. So I mean, I hope this is the start of something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this is exactly what it is. It's a start. It's literally, you just got out the block. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You just got out the blocks, bro. So it's like you got a minute to go. Like, I got to see you put a few games together. You know what I mean? Even if you don't win them all, but you got to look like you know what you're doing for more than one match. You know what I mean? We have Montreal next. That's another team that's just as trash or more. And it doesn't mean to downplay it, but you should go and play against them and look just as unbothered as you did this match. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To where you're not playing down to their level. You're just going out. We're better than you. Mm-hmm. It's going to end up showing that on the scoreboard. And you know, then you move on to the next one. Who we have after that, Alex, after Montreal?
Columbus, and then...
And then who?
Then NYCFC.
Well, I guess should I count Charlotte?
And then NYCFC, and then Miami, and then Atlanta. We literally have five biggest rivals all in a row, if you want to ask me.
All right, well, I won't go that far in. I'll just go to Montreal and then Charlotte. I'll assume we're going to play mostly our first team, North Charlotte, because that's the way Poppy seems to approach these things. So, I mean, you had Galaxy, got Montreal, then you got Charlotte. You should win those three. I mean, you really should.
We should have beat DC. We should have been on a two-game winning streak, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's exactly what I'm saying. We play down to people. So, if we can handle those three teams the way we should handle those three teams on paper, then depending on what happens at Columbus, even if you don't win it, and even if it's a draw or something like that, but you look competent, I'll say, okay, this might be fixed. You know what I mean? It might be fixed. I mean, at the end of the day, we're sitting here, we played like trash, honestly. We played like trash up to this point, but we're sitting in fourth as far as points per game.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's a testament to how good this roster is. And that's also a testament to the reason why so many people are complaining so much and are wanting more, because this roster, this is a top roster.
The roster
LAFC. It's not an LAFC roster, no, but it's right under that. You know what I mean? It's that next tier under that. So, you can struggle. This is a roster that's that good to where you can struggle and look like trash all year long, and they're still sitting in fourth.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's, people are not wrong to be sitting there and demanding more and asking for more. And if they say the coach is underachieving, or they say your DP is underachieving, they're not wrong.
Right.
They're not wrong. Up until that point, they are not wrong. If Carr goes forward and, you know, tears it up for this day forward, if Poppy just starts tearing off win after win after win, it doesn't mean that those first 8 games or those first 8 weeks or 9 weeks, however long it's been, 10 weeks, it doesn't mean the people that were crying and scream demanding more and saying these guys are playing like trash, it doesn't mean they were wrong, because they were.
If anything, they were right. They're saying we could do better, and then we did.
It doesn't mean it has to stay that they. It doesn't mean that, you know, that this player X can never turn it around, or this coach can never turn it around. You know what I mean? So it's not as Eddie likes to say, it's not a dunk where you know, oh, we won a game, or let's say you. Like you say, we turn it around and all of a sudden we do play up to our potential the rest of the way. It doesn't mean those people were wrong through those first 8 or 10 games when they were saying this team is not playing like they should, or they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or they're not doing what they are supposed to have done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, one, just because if somebody turns around in the future doesn't mean they are wrong about the past.
Right. Yeah. People change all the time. That's weird. Yeah. Alex, what do you think? Is this just a time for the winning streak going? Because, you know, one thing I always talk about is, like, we were talking about it before, two goals against Minnesota, two shots, two goals. The performance wasn't great. It's not sustainable, right? This was a good performance. It wasn't just the 3 points. It's a good performance. So do you think this is a sign of time to come? Is this cut it back? Or you're kind of like Lou Brown in Major League Two. We won one game, guys. We win two. It's called a winning streak. It has happened before, you know. R.I.P. Lou Brown. But where are you at on that, Alex?
Speaking of it has happened before, do you guys remember our last winning streak?
No, but I do remember. I honestly don't. Okay. I do want to mention that Facu Torres has played the Galaxy twice and scored two goals against them. His first ever goal was against the Galaxy. Know that. So, yeah, forgot a little fun fact.
And in a way, it was his first goal this season.
And guess who assisted him? This is for Cleon. Urchin got on a cross. And this time, Urchin assisted him again.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. All right, Alex. So, what do you think? We don't live in fantasy land.
Yeah. So first the answer to my quiz question and then the answer to your questions.
Ed. Yes, sir. Your winning streak. Yeah. What was it? I don't remember either.
Last time Orlando City had a winning streak, it was a 5-game winning streak from August 13th until a very memorialized date now, September 7th, 2022, when we beat the Red Bulls 1-0 in New Jersey. Beat Charlotte 2-1 at home, beat NYCFC 2-1 in Orlando, beat Seattle 3-2, and then won the U.S. Open Cup final against Sacramento Republic 3-0. That was the last time we had a multi-game winning streak.
Wow.
That's winning streak, not we didn't lose, right?
No, those are wins.
We went 3 matches unbeaten to start the season. We won.
Those don't count.
Drew. Yeah.
And Drew.
Then we've gone win-loss.
We're breaking
the trend this week.
Back-to-back
wins. We got to beat this team. We've got healthy players. We're going in with a full week's rest. The last time we're going to get to do that until the end of the month, because we have multiple midweek matches this month. Mm-hmm. Saddle up. It's going to happen, but we got to be smart. We got to use all the players in our arsenal. And I think that we're going to see a lot of formation changes. We're going to see a lot of players that people are going to be like, why is he in there starting? It's like, because we have 5 matches in 14 days and three or four of them are away.
We've had a lot of home games already.
Exactly. Not many that we have succeeded at, considering this last week was the first one we've won since the home opener. But
and we're still upside down on goal differential at home. 3-5-7. Home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas on goal differential overall, we're
even.
Zero as always.
Yeah, you're zero. Yeah,
we're always zero or we're negative. It's one of two.
So to the second part. So I didn't know that. I remember that finally now was that Red Bulls. You know, I was like, who is this team scoring five goals? And Alex, so the second part. You think it's a winning streak? It's going to be okay.
It's going to be a winning streak. Yeah. I agree.
I'm with you. We're going to beat Montreal.
Out of the next five, I think we get three or four results, and that includes advancing in the Open Cup because I'm sorry, Charlotte A isn't going to give us a whole lot of trouble, and B, doing it in their MLS's next pro stadium is not going to help. So yeah. I would be willing to bet some money that there will be more Orlando fans in that stadium than Charlotte fans.
Ooh, ooh, I don't know about that, but there'll be some good. There'll be a good number.
Don't bet too much on that one, though.
Yeah, that'll be a good number. But okay, guys. So before we move on to the preview, Montreal, we already kind of did a little bit. I already gave we gave our prediction, so to speak. Stock up, stock down from this match. It was a good performance. Cleon, stock up.
I'm gonna go Erkan Carr because it could not have been coming from lower, so it's got to be going up.
Gotcha. I'm pretty sure his name is Urchin, by the way. I just want
to Urchin or Erkan. Yeah. Urchin.
Like a street urchin. Ursula.
Cara.
Shout out to Aladdin.
I know I got the last name.
Cara.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so that's my stock up. Stock down. Mm-hmm. Shoot, it's hard to go to. Oh, Mauricio.
Oh, why? Why Mauricio? He wasn't even there. Did he catch his straight?
That's spicy.
That's why? Because he wasn't there, we looked
should
better.
Should I change it? I can switch it because I got another one.
I want you to explain that and the other one. I want double. Doing a double jeopardy here.
All right. I'll save my second one just in case one of y'all don't hit me. I'll wait till after y'all do it though.
Okay.
Mauricio. I'm going Mauricio because I almost feel like for at least the last 2 years, right? A lot of our struggle offensively has come down to trying to make him fit in a way. And it's like, okay. And it's like, you know, he's at the 10 and it's like, okay, but he never shoots. Great passer. Great. You know, all that, but you know, he poses no threat whatsoever to the defense as far as having to cover him. So then it's like, okay, let's move him back. But then, okay, we move him back, and then it's okay. Now he's a liability in defense,
right?
You know what I mean. So at that point, then what are you supposed to do with it?
Right. That's it.
So,
yeah.
So I mean, it's like almost stocked down by default.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair. I like it. I was clever. Alex, you want to go next? Your stock up and down.
Yes, I would. Stock up goes to Facundo Torres.
Nice.
Having a big match, looking good, making a lot of the questioners go silent real quick.
Suck on that, haters.
I mean, he didn't even need to shush. He just went back to his normal pose and
selfie
and on with his life, on to producing. Great job for him. I'm looking to see more from him. I will say this about the previous conversation. I don't expect to see him play more than 45 minutes in Charlotte. I think the team is going to give him some rest and give some of the bench players and some of the backup players some minutes there. So, but great job to him. I think he's going to have fun in Montreal, but we'll talk about that in a bit. Stock down is to a player and a general lineup. Stock down is to the back three and to Rodrigo Schlegel.
Oh, hey, two people outside didn't play catching strays over here, buddy.
Fellas. Bro, I love
Rodrigo
Schlegel.
That's
a great shout, bro, because I actually should have went with that one or even over that mine.
I like both of you.
That's
bro.
The nicest
like
thing you've ever said to me.
That's Cleon, that's a great shout right there. I don't know how that one slipped my mind.
I love Rodrigo Schlegel. Whoever falls first, Jansen or Antonio Carlos, he will take their place. But here's the, and has done that in the past, but here's the thing, in the last two matches that I was able to pull up before I got to do this, I might have been three, honestly, he has gotten the start. He has been in that back three, and now he's on the bench. He didn't even get to come in for this match. So I want to feel for him, but at the same time, it's a short-term gain for the club and a short-term loss for him. But I think that he's going to get minutes against Charlotte. There's no way both AC and Janssen start for them. So
Right.
Stock down, but it's a very slow stock down, which is a nice thing to see in this economy.
Nice. And look, that second goal doesn't happen with Rodrigo. That he don't make that pass to Halliday. The first goal, sorry. Right? They clean out that ball from Carlos over the top to Halliday, the first goal. Rodrigo ain't making that, man. He just doesn't. No, man. He does it. How many times did Carlos do that with Juan too? Did the same thing. Maybe Juan hit it into the capo stand, but the ball was that one Carlos's fault, you know. Yeah, capo's over there catching strays, you know. Not even, you know, not their fault. But okay, stock up, stock down. My little controversial, I'm gonna start with stock down. DDT, Dagger Dan Thorhalsson.
Oh, he didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't
get to play all that much. Come on.
He didn't play that much. He didn't do anything wrong per se. But there was times where we were in transition and whatnot, and people want him to play as a box to box or as a 10. Sometimes the man ain't pulling the trigger. You need to play some through balls, play people in. He's already been poppified. He's running counters. He's going sideways, backwards. He dribbles it, but he doesn't have an answer. Like, what do you do next? Make that pass. So it's not he's doing anything bad. He's just cementing himself as a bench player, as a role player, as a super sub. And I think we lost Junior Urso. And so, you know, I would have hoped maybe like I love Wilder and what he's doing, but I would love if Wilder was a little more offensive, you know, and I would be open to Dagger being that person, right? That Junior Urso. And I don't think he is. You know, I just think he needs to just release the ball sometimes. If you watch back when he came in, some transitionary points where, boy, Kata was running. It's like, get it to me, Faku, you know, and stuff like, I mean, not Faku. He subbed in for Faku. Kata was there, Gaston, and I was just like, let it, ball, pass it, let it go. And he didn't. So it's not that he stinks. It's just that he's not a starter. He's a super sub right now until anything's proven. And stock up. I'm going to go a little bit, you know, I'm going to do a deep cut here. Stock up to my man, Alex Freeman. You know, getting his first minutes. Mm-hmm. And you know why I think a little low-key deep cut? This is my personal thought. I don't know this is the case, but I've been saying I think they're not playing the back four because of Mikey. Alex Freeman is more like-for-like for Mikey than Kyle Smith is. I like the back four, and if we could get Freeman going a little bit, if Mikey's out, maybe Freeman could come in and we could play the back four. That's so eventually, I don't know, but Freeman, that boy's a specimen, you know, he's scoring goals. I just like to, you know, cut of this guy's jib. I've always been a fan, but he's raw. He's athletic as hell, but a little bit wild. And I like that, you know, I want the pathway to work for real, you know, and Halliday's, you know, the first real, real homegrown is getting real, real minutes, you know, who went through the academy. And I would like to see more people do that. And I'm hoping Freeman has stepped up, leveled up to the point where we could stay in a back four if Halliday gets hurt. Because if he gets hurt long time, bro, I don't want to do this back three. I don't think we play it well. I said last year when we used to go in the back five to hold the lead, it was, man, we're getting bombarded, you know, and this year it's had its moments, but I think the back four suits Janssen and Carlos better. And I'm hoping Freeman has leveled up where he could be an option. So,
and that's going to be great long term, because if Mikey starts keeping his inroads into the national team, he's going to get called up to the big leagues, or better yet, he was involved in the Olympic qualifying. He's going to end up, he might end up at the Olympics. We might miss him for long periods of time. And sure, that's where Alex can definitely step up.
Yeah, the issue is Alex is called up too for some of that. So, but right now, Cleon, I know it's a little bit out of left field, but right now it don't seem like we got a backup right back. And maybe Freeman is that, right? You see what I'm saying? When our right back is out, we're like, change the whole shape. So that's my deep cut. So Alex Freeman, you know, and not because you're a dad, because I hate the Packers.
You sure you don't want another stock down, man? Because I think you want another stock down.
Do I want another stock down?
I think you want another stock down.
It sounds like you want another stock
down. Yeah. But I want to say this real quick. Me and Alex could bond on this one. Wait one second. Me and Alex could bond on this one because it's not because his dad. Because the Packers, 90s teams, broke my heart numerous times with Steve Young. So it's not Alex Freeman's dad who was a star with the Packers in the 90s. Right, Alex? So we're not giving any credit to any Packers here. I just like Alex Freeman himself. Just want to put that out there. But okay, stock down, Cleon. We got one more stock down. Cleon, take it. I don't know who didn't play in this one. We're going to stock down. He's going to give it to
Enrique. I'm giving it to Enrique because
at least he played 4 minutes.
I'm giving it to Enrique. It ain't Stray.
I thought it was going to Tesho or something. Just no, throwing
because,
people
bro, because, leave because Tesho alone.
Because nice. if it's Duncan and it's Carr, whichever way you're going to order them, then
third string.
You can't play three of them now. That means somebody got to go. Well, right. Not go off the team, but somebody can't, you know, somebody ain't getting on. So, you know, stock down.
But yeah, it kind of went from third in the depth chart to first when Duncan got hurt. Ramiro went to third because I thought Ramiro was going to start.
I'm going with the first only because I'm not trying to break his spirit, bro. You know what I mean? I feel like if he comes out and he works that hard after been sitting there, then you bench him. Then he's just going to be whatever chance he had of you know getting it together. I feel like you would just break it. You know what I mean? Right. Duncan, he's a rookie. He just got here. He'll be all right.
Yeah, and Duncan too. If it's close, Duncan's a guy. I'd be like, look, kid, he'll accept it more. He'll accept that
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, he should. And you know, like I said, you don't want to always rely on rookies. He's going to hit the rookie wall at some point too. You know, like the Mueller did. All these guys, they hit the rookie wall. Even DK, even in a shortened season, a little bit there had a hiccup. Larringer did for a little bit. Remember, he was real streaky with his goals. But okay, guys. So on to Montreal. Montreal only has one win less than Orlando City. Surprisingly, two of those are at home. They only got they're 2-0-1 at home, so they are at home and they've won two in a row. They had some new additions. It looks like they're playing their wannabe Bielsa ball or whatever with that fraud Losada, the philosopher. And but right now they're still 1 point. Their goals against is 10. They're 10 in the hole. 7 goals per game. 17 goals against. Now we're not scoring a ton, but I think we're 11-11, right, Cleon? Something like that. We're about even at 11-11. So we're Orlando City is at what 1.1 whatever per game. They're at 1.8 allowed, and their XG says it too. XG 8.2 XG allowed 16.28 differential. And bro, and you watch their matches. I mean, you look at their matches too. They're not creating a ton of chances. The last one they did at 1.5, but it was against SKC, who's trash. They beat them up. They surprisingly beat the Red Bulls, but that was a bit, you know, I think they got a late penalty, and that one is a bit of a lucky one. And then other than that, they beat Philadelphia, who was in the mix of CCL, and it was a bit of a surprise too. But we beat Philadelphia also. But they got wrecked 5-0 by Vancouver, 4-0 by New England. DC shut them out. Inter Miami shut them out. Austin shut them out. So this is a Montreal team who's better at home than on the road. They're a 1-0-5 on the road, 2-0-1 at home. Well, I really think we should win this match. We're good on the road, and you know, I like what we did. I think that 4-2-3-1 is solid, and it's a formation you could take on the road too. And I think this is tailor-made for a result at the minimum, a win for sure. How do you see this upcoming match here, Alex Ryder?
I think this is the start of the first winning streak of 2023. I think this is a 2-1 W for the guys in purple, although we'll probably be wearing white. This is a match that, although they are good at home, we've been good away. We have some rested players, some players coming off of some confidence boosts. I think this is ripe for the pickings for goals from Ojeda. And honestly, I think Caro's going to put a streak into this. I think he's going to get the start. And I think he's going to get a goal, and Ojeda is going to get one that actually goes in instead of getting unlucky. And we get out of this in a 2-1 fashion.
Nice. You know, it's funny you picked Ojeda, and one of the things that their Montreal seems to have trouble with is long shots. So one of those going to go in one of these days, right? He should have
one of one of these days. They're going to go in, and then they're just going to keep going in. It's not like they're going way over Carlos Rivas style, but they're so close. And
oh yeah,
he's going to find his form, and he's going to be like, oh, that's how I do it. And
yeah, and they keep doing it. Yeah, he just missed the net on one of them, and then Klinsmann made a great save on another one. So, but one of the things that they also have problems too is defending counterattacks. And I mean, we with that counterattack goal from Faku was nice. So I definitely think that it matches up. Cleon, what do you got, man? Montreal, you know, come on, let's, you know, stay positive. Or are you going to be like Orlando City against Orlando City this one and lose to a bum?
No, they can't, man. You can't do that, man. You got to go out there. This is Montreal. You got to go do what you're supposed to do. You got to knock their head off. You have to. You just have to. My only decision is, it should it be, you know, should it be 2-0 or should it be 3-1?
Oh, I like it. 3.
I like it.
I'm gonna go. You feel excited. 3-1.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm gonna go with the 3.
Ooh, 3 goals.
I'm gonna go with the 3 goal scorers.
I would go with the 3. I'm going to go with should be Faku or Ojeda. I'm going to go Ojeda. He ain't had one in a minute. I'm going to go Ojeda. Is Carr going to get one? I'm not sure. I'm going to go Ojeda, Faku, and Duncan. Off the bench.
Off the bench. I like it. That's your boy. I gotcha. And then I'm going to put a tweet out and be like, for all the people who didn't want to play Duncan, you know, there's a go. And so, yeah, I'm going to say 2-1 because, you know, just we got to make it interesting. And I'm going to say Ojeda with the goal 2. And I'm going to give a goal to – they Montreal seems to have a little bit of issue with set pieces too. I'm going to give a goal to my man, Antonio Carlos. He's due. I want to see.
I would love to see that, actually.
I would love
– Oh, guy getting the header in. Let's go.
Yeah, I want to – I just like seeing those. You know, it's one of my favorite types of goals. So that's where I'm at. So Montreal on the road, catching on Apple
TV. What if Mikey gets one, bro?
Bro, that would be great.
That'd be awesome.
What if Mikey gets a goal?
That'd be awesome. Do you think Mikey's got some flips in him too? Quite a few guys have flips at this point.
I don't know, man. Maybe Duncan could teach him or something.
I feel like if Duncan's big behind could do one, I feel like the whole team should be able to do one.
Bro, yeah, big
except for Kyle.
Yeah. Kyle got the swag to do flips. Yeah,
Enrique got to be it. Bro, that dude needs a goal so bad, man. Enrique. But I don't think he's going to play this game.
If he gets a goal, he's going to get hot. That's the funny thing. And then we're going to be like, who do we start?
I love that. I love doing that. Whoever scores, buddy. Enrique, you know, Enrique is going to do like a 90 Man United, like spin, backflip, double axle. You know, like he's going to.
This ain't figure skating. This ain't the Olympics.
Well, I don't know. You know, sorry about that. Yeah. He's gonna. Ojeda, Ramiro's gonna be boing, 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 jumping up. But you know, okay, guys. Last thing before we end it, unless anybody got shout outs, Kyle Smith. Tell me if I'm wrong. He doesn't look like a cartwheel guy. He doesn't look like a backflip guy. He looks like a cartwheel guy at best.
Oh my God, Rodrigo definitely can't do no cartwheel.
He definitely can't do
no backflip. Fair. Absolutely not.
Yeah, Rodrigo. I can see Rodrigo try like a front flip and fall because he's Rodrigo and laugh.
He would get injured, bro.
But yeah, Kyle Smith is a cartwheel guy for sure. That's for sure. Anyone got any shout outs?
Philadelphia. Oh my God. LAFC is now up 3-0. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. It's my shout out. That's my shout out to the city of Philadelphia.
Hold on. Let me.
Let Eddie talk. Please, Eddie, go.
I got to just shout. Yeah, Cleo, real quick. Shout out to the. You got something before shout outs? Because I got a shout out now.
No, I had a shout out.
Okay. You go ahead, or I'll go. I'll go with mine real quick. Get me out of the way. Yeah, city of Philadelphia, if we're continuing to lose, not win anything. You know, the World Series, awesome, my Astros. got murked by old man Gareth Bale in there. You know, they didn't win the Open Cup because we knocked you out. And, you know, Sixers, whatever, Flyers, whatever. Philadelphia, stay losing. Eat that. City of Brotherly losing. All right, that was it. I don't know why I enjoy Philly losing so much.
That was fantastic.
I thought I was going to get some child violence today. Anyway.
I got a second one at the end.
Give it to him at the end.
That's why I thought he was going last.
I got one more. You're right. Go ahead. I'm gonna say that for last because you know Philly came out of nowhere. I couldn't let them get away with it. You know.
All right. I'm gonna have to shout out. The self-proclaimed hardest group in all of sports, soccer supporters groups.
Oh no!
Look here, man. Look. I'm gonna say this one time. If you can't handle people talking trash to you, don't talk trash to other people. You know what I mean? Don't go crying if we run in our mouth, and then Erkan Kara or whoever else is going to put up the shush sign to you. Right. Bro, you can't go running back to mama crying about it after we've been running our mouth to. Bro, Erk, he could come up and he could go search, score goal, and come search, find me in section 3. Point me out and say something, and I'm going to just say touche.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's what grown people do.
Because I earned it. You know what I mean? Don't talk
trash especially you
about it when you get it back.
Especially you, Cleon. You're like, ship him out.
Yeah, bro, ship him out.
And he scored. He scored. He goes to row 3, points at you and says, ship this.
Bro, if he's going to score 15 goals, he can come up to me 15 more times and find me. Section bro. 3, right to the top. I'll be right there.
Bro, it's fine. I'm with you. You know what I said? I told him, I don't care if they say I don't like this city. I don't like the color purple. I don't like Lions.
And bro,
they scored 20 goals. I'm like, bro, that is fantastic. I don't care. Exactly. Yeah, Alex, you got a shout out before I do mine.
I thought I had one, and I'm at the point now where I'm like, I'm going to give mine to Eddie.
Okay, all right.
Take your second. So, you can have my second one.
We have 3 allocated shout outs. I'm taking 2 today. Okay, Ted Lasso's winding down season 3, a little bumps and roads getting better, etc. Now they're trying to, you know, tie the knot on the whole father and, you know, Ted Lasso, spoiler alert, you know, his baby mama's got another dude in there, doctor, you know, hey, HIPAA law violation, whatever, right?
Violation, bro.
Just wrong, you know, because, you know, he got all the secrets. He got all the cheat codes, you know, he went in there, went low. That was wrong.
But he waited. That was totally good.
Well, yeah. Okay. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then so that means, you know, that, you know, Ted Lasso is a committed father. It seems like a good father for son Henry. So but here lies my issue. The more Ted Lasso and the father angle comes in, the more Henry we get. And bro, I thought every year there's a new season. I thought this is the perfect time to recast the kid who's Henry. As he grows older, he looks different. Recast him with somebody else because that kid sucks. He's not a good actor. I mean, I'm used to growing up with good child actors. The kid from Jerry Maguire, the average head.
Big head, Jerry Maguire. That's right, bro.
Yeah. The kid with 8. Did you know the average head weighs 8.5 pounds?
And his was 12 and a half.
Yeah, his was 12. Yeah, bro, that was big. Jack Lynn, 13 and a half. Hello.
Jack Lynn.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, Zach and Cody, you know, shout out all that. Keenan and Kel. There's some kids, you know, who can act. Henry Lasso.
Trash.
Bro.
Good at Legos, though.
Yeah. No. Trash. Yeah. No, they should have recast that kid. But I mean, at this point, you know, I'm rooting for, you know, Ted Lasso's ex baby mama for the dad. I'm waiting for a heel turn for the kid to be like, you know what? This is my daddy now. Just, I'd rather see Ted Lasso go through that so I don't have to see Henry anymore.
Yeah, bro. I'm all for that, man. Hey, look, man. Don't.
Wow.
Hey. If he can't stand the heat, stay out the acting kitchen, bro.
Bro, that guy sucks. Is he like Sudeikis' real kid or something? Why is this kid
he
there?
He must be, bro.
Oh yeah, jeez, that kid sucks. He ain't no good. Right. Yeah, well, we'll probably do a lasso pod at the end of the season in the Rider like last year, and I'll take out give a little more details.
That I'm gonna have to schedule like from like 9 p.m. until midnight for that show because
oh yeah, you, me and you, and Mike, last Mike year. And we went crazy last year.
Leon, do you watch Ted Lasso?
Yep.
Well, oh, you're gonna do the Ted Lasso.
Everybody,
show.
We're gonna get everybody in the
That's outside my contract, bro. That's outside of my contract.
Yeah, Cleo said only allowed us
to do related stuff. Can we sign an addendum to it to get your perspective? Because, Cleon, what can I do?
Yeah, look, but you know what, Cleon,
I'll give the poster back.
Yeah, hey, you know, if we did one on that reality show that Cleon likes with people in the house, Cleon would do it. Big Brother. Cleon would be, if it was Big Brother, the Orlando Big
Brother. Make the whole thing Big Brother themed.
Yeah, we'll do that. Well, with that, fellas, we went long, but there was a lot to talk about. People came in, I thought we had a good discussion about a transitionary point, hopefully, for Orlando City. Turn it around and start getting a winning streak, and the fans will love each other again. And if you're running your mouth, you're allowed to get shushed. Don't forget that. That's the Cleon rule. And with that said, vamos, Orlando. Let's take out the Impacts in Montreal on Saturday, and then let's get some revenge against Charlotte, who already beat us, knock them out of the Open Cup, and they're continuing their miserable season. All right, vamos, Orlando. See you guys next.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.